Greetings, everyone. This is Brother Bedford, and welcome to my Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. You're about to hear my recorded interview with the world's number one motivational speaker, Les Brown. Enjoy.
This is Brother Bedford from HowToBeAblackEntrepreneur.com, and I am just overjoyed with who's joining me in conversation today. This gentleman has risen to international prominence by delivering a high-energy message which tells people how to shake off mediocrity and live up to their greatness. And his message is not one of theory. Here's a man who actually practices what he preaches. He is an internationally recognized speaker. He is also the author of the highly acclaimed and successful books, Live Your Dreams, and the newly released, It's Not Over Until You Win. He hosted a nationally syndicated television talk show which focused on solutions rather than problems. He is one of the world's leading authorities in understanding and stimulating human potential, and I can go on and on about business accolades and awards that this gentleman has received throughout the years. He's the one and only world-renowned speaker, successful entrepreneur, best-selling author, radio and television celebrity, Mr. Les Brown. Thank you, Mr. Les Brown, for joining us today.
Thank you so much, and I, you know, I tell you, you proved that $5 go a long way. I'm going to give you $6 next time for that bill up, all right?
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Yeah. I am truly honored. You are truly one of my heroes as it relates to successful black entrepreneurs. And as I started compiling these interviews, I knew that this series would not be complete without your voice being added to this series. So I thank you once again. I'm truly honored.
Well, thank you so much for having me, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, let's get started because I do know that you are a very busy man. To the subscribers, we really want to know, how did you get your start as an entrepreneur?
Well, we all know that it all starts with the decision that we want to be our own boss. There's something that we want to do. We want to do it our way and go out into the marketplace and test ourselves with our products, our services, or our information. And I decided that speaking was an arena that I love the business of it. I love changing people's lives, and I wanted to take on the challenge of going into this industry where I had no experience and no prior knowledge of what it would take to do it, something that was very challenging, and establish myself as an intellectual resource for corporate America. This is 20 years ago. There was no such thing as an African-American motivational speaker or black motivational speaker, and so at that time, to want to get $1,000 an hour to train white corporate America how to achieve their corporate goals was just not done. It was not something that most people had envisioned, and that's what I set out to do. In our community, if you have a desire to help people, because of our conditioning and because of past experiences, our history, we chose to become ministers, and I think that's why we have more churches and ministers than we have businesses, because that was the first avenue of expression. But this was some area that had never been carved out, a brother motivating corporate America, so I like that kind of stuff. You know, right. I'll go motivate the man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So it was fun. It has been fun. It's been a great ride for 20 years, earned just over $52 million, and it's been a fascinating and enlightening and empowering experience.
Yes, sir. Now you mentioned that, I'm sure, just as you mentioned, going into white corporate America and motivating them, I'm sure that was a serious challenge. But I want to ask you, what were some of the major challenges that you faced or that you had to overcome in your beginning stages as an entrepreneur?
Well, one of the first things I had to do was I had to sell myself on that. One of the things I would suggest, are you open to some coaching?
Yes, good. Absolutely.
One of the things I would suggest that you do is drop the title Black Entrepreneurs. I had to, mm-hmm. to begin to face something that my mentor said to me. He said, Les, you're more than your paint job. And if you mm-hmm. see yourself as a black entrepreneur, then they will see you how you see yourself. And how you see yourself connects with the history they have about a black entrepreneur. You have got to position yourself as you are the one.
Mm-hmm.
And your message is for the planet, and your knowledge and your expertise and your level of competence and your confidence, as you bring it forth, that they'll forget about your paint job based
mm-hmm.
upon your content and your character
mm-hmm.
and deal with you because you can impact their bottom line. You've got to outwork them and outthink them, but there cannot be in your thinking, I would like for you to do business with me, I'm a black entrepreneur and blah-da-da, blah-da-dee, because that doesn't work at the level that you want to go at. See, I don't speak at Black History Time or Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. I speak all year long. And
yes,
so, I get $25,000 an hour speaking domestically to corporations, $55,000 internationally. And so at that level, doing that 3 to 4 times a week and having a reputation for specializing in custom designing a presentation to meet the needs of the corporation, going up against major firms, not having their PowerPoint presentation, not having the MBAs and the PhDs, and competing against them on a yearly basis. Usually if they see my name on a roster for a contract, they usually come and talk to me about subcontracting with them because they know I most certainly will get it. And so it's about, one, how you vision yourself having a larger vision of yourself beyond your paint job, and seeing yourself as a force to be reckoned with on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And two, holding yourself to a higher standard that they don't, because in order for us to be considered average, we have to be extraordinary. We have to be 5 to 10 times better. We can't be as good as. We have to be better than. And
mm-hmm.
so the whole regiment that I went through to train myself so that, one, the fact that I happen to be black, two, the fact that I've never worked for a major corporation, three, the fact that I don't have any college education, four, the fact that I had no track record of achievement in this area, five, I had no recommendations and had no colleagues or anyone to point me out and say, he can do this, and was asking for $1,000 an hour to motivate a corporation to do something I've never done, and asked them to fill out an evaluation form to tell me what they want me to tell them. Now, to me, when I call the psychic hotline, they say, what's your name? I say, well, you tell me. So to me, that when I look back, I said, Aretha Franklin used to have a song called How I Got Over, How I Got Over. Sometimes I look back and I wonder how I got over. I can sing that song. Yeah. Let me share something with you.
Sure.
As entrepreneurs, there are five things that's indispensable for making it in the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
One is your mindset. I cannot tell you how important that is, that you work on that on a regular basis. Your mindset is crucial when you are in business to deal with just the emotional, stressful, unpredictable, volatile environment that you just don't know what's going to happen for 1 minute to the next.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people between you and the buddy, or people that you have to depend upon. I used to be insulted when I would hear years ago when white people were asked about, why don't you have blacks working? And they would say, well, send me some that are qualified or that want to work. I used
mm-hmm.
to be insulted by that. Nah, you asked me, that's aren't you going to hire some brothers and sisters? Send me some who are qualified who want to work. I'm saying to tell you, it's amazing how people just want a paycheck. They don't want to work. I mean, in the 20 years I've been doing this, I've earned over $52 million. And that's crumbs had I not been narrow in my thinking. I should have selected people not based upon their paint job to formulate my team. I should have selected them based upon their competence and they're being in the business and partnering with me and growing with me, because I outgrew the team that I had for a long time. And now at this stage of my life, and I have to remember that I'm an old man now. You know, I'm 63. The fact that I can do 140 push-ups nonstop does not erase the fact that I'm old now. And I forget that because of my energy and because of what I'm doing now. And I'm still excited about what I'm doing, because this is not work. The only part that's work is getting ready to go to the airport. That's what I charge them for. The speech is free. I charge them $25,000 to go through the airport and get another prostate examination. That's what I charge them for.
Right.
So,
yes, sir.
So, but the as I'm looking at my life, I'll give you a case in point. The usually in the month of December, the speaking business and training business, usually it's very slow around Christmas time, so you might do $30,000 to $40,000 max in that month, and that's a good month. And an hour and a half, because of a strategic relationship, and as a result of the strategic relationship, it gave me access to a market that I did not have access to. Mm-hmm. And I learned a process of how to deliver a sales presentation that I did not know before then. In an hour and a half, I earned $410,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, what was changed? Same person, 20 years in the industry, a different relationship, different team, that it's a difference between being in the business and the business being in you, and introduced me to strategies and a process that I was not aware of, because I got on this track 20 years ago, and one of the things that's very important is, one, working your mindset, two, making sure that you stay ahead of the game in terms of your learning and being a master in this arena, and three, surrounding yourself with people that are continuously involved in growing and staying ahead of you. And that's the mistake that I made. I didn't do that. Now I understand. When I had I was on a board with Bishop T.D. Jakes, he had, and he came into the room and he said, you know, it's good evening. It's so great to see all of you here. Let me just put this out here. As soon as I know as much as the rest of you around this table, you're fired. And I'll get a new group. That was a strong statement. People laughed nervously, but now I understand that you got to have people around you who know more than you.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you know as much as they know, you no longer need them. So I had people around me that I knew more than them. It was Dennis Kimbrough, who wrote the Think and Grow Rich with Black Choice. He said that if you're the smartest one in your group, you need to get a new group.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was the smartest one in my group, and I did not know the liability that was to me business-wise. And so you have to have people who know more than you and who are continuously growing, staying ahead of the game, and bringing you stuff as opposed to you bringing them stuff. The other thing that's very, very important as an entrepreneur, that most people, and particularly African Americans, don't invest in. I'm about to get off this call, and I've been on a call with a company called American Home Mortgage Company. They have a national corporation, and that has been an advantage for me in dealing in the market that I deal in, because 99% of my customers are white. And that is mindset, working on yourself on a regular basis, listening to motivational messages, reading positive material to reprogram your mind to overcome the subtle, unconscious mental conditioning that keeps us from playing on a higher level, and it just creeps back in, and I'll give you some examples if we have the time. But the other thing that's very important is investing in your communication skills. Put your money where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you your ability to communicate, because I did that, and I still do that. I trained last year just over 5,000 doctors. And I taught them how to communicate with their patients, to increase their patient's compliance in taking their hypertension medication. Now, that was 30 minutes a day, Monday through Thursday, a $640,000 contract.
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes a day from 12 noon until 12:30, 4 days a week.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never been a doctor, and I never had a patient. How did I beat out all of these other white firms?
Mm-hmm.
Because not only was I able to express and connect with the pharmaceutical company that was going to release the contract, but I conducted communications intelligence. Unlike my white competitors who came there with an idea of what it took to teach these doctors how to communicate with their patients,
mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of time finding patients who were taking their medication and asked what role that doctors played in doing that. I talked to patients who were doing it to find out, to give me a portrait of the personality and the style of the doctor, his staff, and his practice, and what role that played in them being cooperative in the process,
mm-hmm.
as well as talk to doctors who felt that they were successful in getting their patients to take their medication. And so that was the heart and soul of my presentation. The insights that I brought made them know, even though I didn't have an MBA, even though I have no healthcare training whatsoever in my background, that this man knows what he's talking about. And
question
got the contract.
Excuse me. Is that what you – I heard you a couple years ago, and I heard you say that you had succeeded as a speaker, but you had failed at the speaking business. Is that
absolutely
what you think?
I've made
that transformation?
Absolutely. I still have. I've made $52 million not knowing the hell I'm doing. Yeah. And the reason is, I mean, right now, because as late as Saturday, I was in Somerset, New Jersey, training a guy named T. Harv Eckert's speakers and trainers on how to tell stories and position your story so it has value for an audience and to move them and to motivate them, to persuade them, to get them to make the choices that you want them to make. I got up early that morning to go down to see what was going on before me. They were doing a training called the How to Present the Irresistible Sale.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave the top 10 secrets of guys that I work with, that because I've known them for years and we speak in different places, and very seldom we're in the same place unless we're on stage, then we speak and we're running, we're gone. So I got a chance to see all of these various presentations, and some I had seen before. But now looking at them from the inside out and finding out where they work, why they work, I had 80 people to speak to. I was there going through the training with them. I came up on the stage. I stayed in the room, did not leave, came up on the stage to do my presentation. And then I said, pause in my presentation, because I had an hour and a half to do, but I had to catch a plane, and planes have been canceled coming to Chicago, so I had to cut it 45 minutes. I had to cut it to 45 minutes. So I said, well, let's see how well I learned the irresistible sale. And people began to laugh in the audience. Now, mind you, for 20 years, I pride myself with two things. Number one, being the highest paid speaker at $25,000 an hour. Only people earn more than I do. Guys like Giuliani out of New York, former President Clinton. But then Zig Ziglar earns like around $11,000. Jack Canfield, Tony, Mark Victor Hansen wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. Those guys get around $10,000. Most of the other celebrity speakers taper off around $10,000, $15,000 highest, you know. But I get $25,000 for 30 minutes. Well, sometimes I've spoken for as less as 5 minutes. Flew to Hawaii and spoke for 5 minutes, 4 minutes, and they paid me $25,000. And I left. 4 minutes, because the people ahead of me went over. And then, but internationally, I charge $25,000. I mean, $55,000, plus they usually have me with seven interpreters. Next week, I'm going to Ottawa, Canada, and Calgary, and speaking to over 6,000 entrepreneurs there. Mm-hmm. And the but what happened was, here I am priding myself of being a highest, one of the highest paid speakers on the planet, and T. Harv trained his people not to get a fee. Wow. I'm saying, whoa, what does he mean by that? And then here I pride myself as getting more standing ovations than anybody in the industry, and here he is training his people not to get a standing ovation. He trained his people to get a running ovation to the back of the room to buy products. I said, whoa! That presentation, because I changed and used the running ovation strategy, and they saw it, they knew I was going to do it. I talked about it each step, and now I'm going to do this. When he told us to do this, they knew the steps, all the elements to drive them to the back of the room, and they still got up and went back there and bought over $130,000 worth of product. Mm. Blew me away. 80 people. Now, so the lesson in that is Dwight Pledger, one of the speakers I'm training now, because now it's doing it is it's not. I love the excitement of going to Ottawa, Canada, or speaking to American Home this morning and blowing their minds. I like that. I like it when I come in the room and they look, and I don't, you know, they know he doesn't play football, he's not a basketball player, he doesn't sing, he doesn't dance, but he's about to make our nose bleed. I like the voice in my head with this priest, this Catholic priest, was at an event where I spoke, and he said, "What a paradox! God has raised from among his oppressor a motivator to motivate his oppressor." I like it when they give me that check and I run to the bank speaking in unknown tongues. No, but let me tell you, it's so much fun because the look on people's faces, like, what you going to do? Who are you? At the just right. Some break them down. I like that. I like it. Write this down. I like that.
That's
a fun thing. Now, I have to, my challenge is now, is what turns me on is, that's okay, but what turns me on now is training others to do it. And I got some speakers now that's giving the old man a run for his money, and I like teaching and training people how to negotiate, how to develop their leadership potential, how to impact the sales process, build relationships, and quadruple your income in any industry, how to establish a brand, a reputation, and dominate your niche. That's what my goal was when I came into this industry, to dominate it, and that's what I do. Now I'm learning the business. I dominate the speaking aspect of it. Now that's a different mindset. I'm learning the business. I'm now working with people like T. Harv Eker, who's earned over $200 million in a year. Mm-hmm. And now people say, well, he's white. No, that's not the biggie. That's, so what? This is the area where we have an advantage. He has a process, and he has a team of people that know some stuff that I don't know. And now I probably will have about one-third of his team who volunteered to come work with me. Many of them are going to put in their resignation to come work with me because they like the way I do business and how I operate. Yeah. And that's going to take my stuff. I will probably do what took me 20 years to do with this new team that I've assembled. And they've got a brother up in there, too, and a sister. Mm-hmm. I saw them. They're coming. It will take me, they're probably less than 15 months with the knowledge they're bringing.
They did in 20 years.
Took me 20 years, yes. 20 years. But I don't care. $52 million, a good God, and a healthy hog, and you could make it through the winter in Miami, Florida.
That's right.
I'm telling you, my brother.
Yes, I know you have to go. Can I
ask
one more
question? No, I'll talk to you. Go ahead.
Okay. What is, you spoke about, I was going to ask you about the importance of speaking and communication as an entrepreneur, but I think you touched on that beautifully. In connection with that, what is the most important trait or characteristic that a young brother or sister must have if they're on this trek of entrepreneurship?
And that is a belief in themselves. See, communication skills are important, but who you are behind the words, that's far more important than the words themselves. Because under every deal, underneath every conversation, underneath every presentation, there's the energy, there's your conviction, there's your character, there's your spirit. And for you to convince someone to hire you, to consult with you, to accept you as the vendor that they're going to do business with, that connection, that decision, cannot just be cerebral. It just can't be based upon the numbers. I deliberately charge more money than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm making a statement about my stuff. Oh, you want something cheaper? Fantastic. I can get you a $10,000 speaker. I just happen not to be one. And I train them, and I know a lot of them, and let me give you their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Gladly, because I have over 3,000 requests a month. I mean, a year, and so I don't. I'm not out looking for business. I don't generate business. Business comes to me, and mm-hmm. you do that through holding yourself to a higher standard, operating out of the thinking of Henry David Thoreau, who said, "Do not go where the path may lead, but go where there's no path and leave a trail." The regimen in which I trained myself, in which I'm now training and putting together a structure to train my speakers on, a regimen that my competition can't even respond to because they didn't train themselves like I trained myself. They didn't have to. They have privilege. 87% of what they want is available to them because they have the connection, the complexion of connection. I didn't have that. So I had to train myself in a different kind of regimen. They can go up and give the same speech for 30 years and regurgitate that one speech fits all situations. I didn't have that option, being black.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to train myself in a different kind of way. They operate out of the thinking of the Dale Carnegie course, which is a great course. Tell them what you're going tell them, and then tell them what you told them. I couldn't do that. I have to go from a different place. I train my speakers to conduct communications intelligence. You know, my favorite mm-hmm. book says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Find out who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And once you find out who they are, craft a message in a language in which they can relate to. Don't let what you want to say get in the way of what they need to hear so that you can make impact, because impact drives income. And because of that standard that I train myself on, they can't do that. They just can't go up on a stage and start speaking on any subject matter in any industry mm-hmm. and command yeah, the kind yeah. of money that I get. I'm training my speakers to be flexible and versatile to do that on any industry, period, 5 minutes, prep, and they'll think that you're an expert for the hour that you talk. And so we always have to hold ourselves to a higher standard when it comes to the knowledge, because knowledge is a new currency, and coming to express it, to communicate it, to relate to different people on different levels. Once you open your mouth, that person is making an assessment of you.
Mm-hmm.
So this voice that you hear was not always here. By being trained, Mike Williams, who's my mentor for the past 37 years, out of Columbus, Ohio, who was born in Coshocton, Ohio. That brother, dropout from Ohio State University, trained mm-hmm. and mentored me over the years. He was my newsman, and I was a community activist, and he was, and during the 60s, and I admired him. He was a speaker then, and I was one of his groupies and went around watching him and studying his style. I was fascinated with it. He had a big afro. We called him Treetop, big, huge afro, like Angela Davis type. And then okay. he came to the station working as a newsman, and between the records convinced me that I can be more than a disc jockey, more than a man about town, Les Brown, more than LB, Triple P, Les Brown, your planet, Plan Papa, that I can communicate with the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And he went about the business of teaching me, and here we are. The rest is history.
Wow. Such a wonderful history. I'm sure that many of our subscribers and hopefully those who begin to subscribe will really appreciate your message. Can you tell the subscribers and the listeners how they can get in contact with you and get a hold of some of this wonderful training that you have?
Well, we have Mike Williams and I, we do the training ourselves. In fact, next year, because of T. Harv Eker, I said, oh, my God, he said, Les, he said, did you notice that out of 80 people, 63 signed up for your speaker training? I said, yes. He said, it's 4 days. I said, yes. He said, Les, you charge $2,500. He said, that's too cheap. That's too cheap. He said, we do four-day training. These people are here 4 days. They're paying $20,000 a head.
Mm-hmm.
Too cheap. So people who come in, they better hurry up. Because it's going up, my goodness gracious. I said, oh, no. They have sold out. I probably maybe have, if I'm lucky, we're trying to get another room. We might have about 5 seats available because they bought them out because they want to know, how could he do this, not knowing the business? And they know I don't know. They know I'm not joking because they ask me questions. They say, we can't believe you don't know this. How did you get here? I said, I don't know. But there are some things that I do know that I just focus on what was number one, what was my strength? And what was their weaknesses, and how could I exploit that and make that my strength? And because I was thinking in terms of dominating the market. When Toastmasters International did a poll of over 51,000 members worldwide to select 5 top speakers in the world, they selected General Norman Schwarzkopf, Barbara Walters, Robert Shuler, Paul Harvey, and myself. And I got more votes than all of them combined, which was a great honor, and mm-hmm. and was selected by the National Speakers Association for the Speaker Hall of Fame. They call a CTAE Award, where you're selected by your peers. And to me, my goal is to create a path for other African Americans to come down, and once getting here, to train them, because now, you know, you learn, you earn, you pass it on. So now that I'm in my Colonel Sanders years, it's time to pass it on to others, and that's what we're doing in our training summit. And this one takes place on March the 22nd through the 25th in Orlando, Florida. And I want to say to people, success is not convenient. Seize the mm-hmm. moment. It's March the 22nd through the 25th.
And they can go to lesbrown.com.
If they want to sign up, what I'll do is do a special for you as entrepreneurs. It's $2,500. They call you, and you call me and give me their information, and we'll give them a $500 discount.
Yes, sir.
Well, all right.
Now, you also have a cruise coming up as well.
I got a cruise September the 1st through the 8th, Cruise Your Way to Greatness. And on this cruise, we will share with people the many strategies of creating multiple streams of income, how to, doing a piece called Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, another one called How to Leverage and Build Relationships Beyond Our Community. And the other one that's very important is balance. You know, how do you make it in a world where in many cases there are some people who are taking care of their parents while they're taking care of their kids and run a business. And you have maybe a kid that's decided to go crazy. You know, it's mm-hmm. you know, how do you maintain sanity in an insane situation? And there's some strategies. There's some things that I've learned that I think will be helpful to them. How do you handle it when you're an entrepreneur and someone in your family has been diagnosed with an illness? You know, told you have cancer, or you've been told you have cancer, like I was 10 years ago, and so you got 2-3 years. And I beat those odds and saw it as a project as opposed to a death sentence. So those are some of the things that we're going to deal with.
Great.
And they can go to our website and register for that as well.
Okay, and get all of your other books and audio.
Yeah, tell them if they're serious. This is just for people that are serious. There's a set of CDs we have called Choosing Your Future. This is the best work I've done. I like them and I don't like them because I haven't done anything that I think that's superior to those yet. It's a 6-week series that was going to be the last set of tapes that I was going to do before venturing into television, but the venture to television didn't last as long as I thought it was going to. We're doing something now. But Choosing Your Future, you get that online. The other one is called Presentation Power, Part 1 and 2. That's a must for everybody's library. That's an entrepreneur because it teaches you how to communicate on the phone in small settings, one-on-one, in large groups. I've spoken to groups over 80,000 in the Georgia Dome. So teach you things that I've learned not from any book but from the University of Hard Knocks. That's what I teach. This takes you above and beyond the secret. Everybody's talking about the secret. The secret works very well for white folks. Yeah. but the stuff that we need, oh, it's above and beyond. In fact, I'm going to do a book called Above and Beyond the Secret, you know, because if we come in, there ain't no secret.
Right.
Then we ain't going to get the business, okay? See, let me give you an example. Here in Chicago, just imagine talking about mental conditioning. Chicago, one would consider a very progressive city. Just had a mayor's election. Where do you live?
I'm in Detroit.
Okay. Chicago has 52% black registered voters. 52% of the voters in Chicago are black. And they vote in a higher percentage than whites. White people in Chicago represent 30% of the vote. Now, 20 years ago, when Mayor Harold Washington was in office, black people got 44% of the contracts of a $2 billion budget. 20 years later, Mayor Daley elected with 80% of the black vote, with two black people running against him. That not one black leader endorsed these two black people, one person. Dorothy Brown's a clerk of court. She's an attorney. She's an MBA, and she is a certified public accountant.
Mm-hmm.
He was elected with 52%. He was elected with over 80% of the black vote. Now let's look at the contracts. 20 years later, what percentage of the contracts do you think that black people get? Now they got 44% 20 years ago under Harold Washington, who was elected with the black vote. What percentage do you think they get now with over 80% of the black vote for Mayor Richard Daley?
I'm going to jump up and say probably less than 25%.
Black people get 6% of the contracts. White contractors get 92%. Latinos get 2%. And black contractors get 6%.
That is a drastic 6%. That's a drastic
drop. Yes, indeed.
Drastic.
Yes, indeed.
Paradigm shift, right? We need a paradigm shift.
That's not a paradigm shift. That's mental conditioning. You have to get underneath that. The level of self-loathing and self-hatred, that has to be interrupted. What people do, what they produce, is a result of the conversation they believe about themselves. Mm-hmm. And so getting underneath that stuff and giving them a larger vision of themselves and empowering them to break through the good old boys network mindset of, you know, we're going to take care of few and you few, you control the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting thing. Quite interesting indeed. Fascinating to watch this stuff.
Yeah. Sound like we have a challenge ahead of us.
Oh, without question. I think it's very exciting. I'd like the opportunity to deal with it, and probably I got to first go get this money.
Yes.
I got to get this money right now. I got another goal over here that got me really excited. Man, I can make more money at home than on the road. I like that one.
Yes. We probably got to bring you back on and talk about that sometime. So.
Oh, man, there's so much money. This is a $58 billion industry. This is an industry. Just think about this. We're the only people that have more churches than we have businesses.
Mm.
More ministers than we have entrepreneurs. And we have the highest poverty rate, highest incarceration rate, highest crime rate. For every African-American male that goes to college, 100 go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay? And so as we look at ourselves and look into the future, we have to incorporate spirituality with practicality. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates said the retraining of Americans will be the biggest budget in this century. Because we're going through something that the media does not talk about. It's called the three P's, purchase, power, parity. Mm-hmm. That the belief is that over the next 10 to 15 to 20 years, as we are now in the moving forward into the global economy, that American workers will have to do more, do it faster, do it better, less resources, permanent part-time employees with no health benefits. And eventually, they hope to achieve in 15 to 20 years a level economic playing field, because the only countries that we're in war with are poor countries. We're not in war with any wealthy countries. Poor
right.
countries are what we're in war with. And so when they lower, when they say we have 25,000 people working for a corporation, they lay off 10,000 people. Those 10,000 jobs don't go away. They spread those 10,000 jobs among the 15,000 people that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Now that introduces a speaker. Now comes on the stage a trainer, because now they need to be trained on how to do more and do it faster. They need to be trained on how to develop their leadership potential, that 15,000 that's still there. They need to be trained how to accommodate those new 10,000 jobs. They need to be trained how to raise the level of morale and give people a sense of certainty in an uncertain situation where there's no such thing as job security. They need to be trained on how to optimize the efficiency of the operation, and they need to be trained on how to create a shift in the mindset of the people so they don't think in terms of sabotaging the company and come back and shooting people and going postal. They need to be trained on how to accommodate this level of transformation that's taking place, this level of work, and feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we get paid $25,000 an hour to do. Yes, sir. Let the record show. As I'm telling you, it's a serious business up in here. And one of the few areas that I know that being an African American, being a black man, is an advantage.
Wow.
See, because when a Tony Robbins or Zig Ziglar or Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup for the Soul goes on stage and say, you have the power to live your dream, they look at him and look at themselves and they say, if he can do it, I can do it. But when you and I go on stage and say, you have the power to live your dream, they look at you and think about our history and look at themselves and say, if he can do it, I know damn well I can do it. Let me get the hell out of here now. And they leave there running.
Right. Wow.
It's fun, man. It's fun. I'm telling you.
I can hear that you are having just a ball doing what you do. And I think that's one of the most powerful characteristics I love about you, is the energy and the excitement you bring to what you do.
And you know what's exciting to me now? Training somebody, giving them everything I know to beat me. That's the most fascinating thing. When I'm on the road, I had one of the most powerful moments in my life as a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
When 2 weeks ago, one of my speakers spoke after I spoke, Ed Blunt, out of New York, and he's been in training for 2 years. And a lady came up to me and she said, I hope I don't hurt your feelings by what I'm going to say. I said, not at all. She said, we don't need you anymore. We've got Ed. I said, well, thank you very much. That was the greatest compliment I've ever gotten as a coach. And that people always say that after my daughter speaks, or, Ed Blunt or Kevin Bracey or Johnny Wimbrey or Erica McKay, any of the other speakers, they always say that, you know. So, I mean, my top 16. And that, to me, is...
We've been calling you stuff that
minute. Oh, you're kidding. I did not. Thank you.
What's her name?
Who?
I found it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. Oh, my goodness. I had my cell phone off because I'm doing an interview. You're going to have to edit all this out. Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah, right.
I'll make sure that you get it. And I'm sure you have to go, correct?
Yeah, but go ahead. You want to ask me one other question? Yes.
Well, I just want to thank you. I mean, you've given such a wealth of knowledge, and again, I will do some follow-up.
But you're a gold mine listening to you. What a great voice. You're a gold mine, man.
Well, I'll come down there and I will be there. I will be there.
Yes.
The other thing that I'm doing, I've interviewed within the past couple of weeks, I've interviewed Dennis Kimbrough. I'm glad you mentioned him, George Frazier, and Kathy Hughes, the great Kathy Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, and doing what I'm doing, my whole ambition is to lead people to you all, because you are like the hidden treasure. Every time I'm doing presentations, I always ask, do you have Think and Grow Rich, a Black Choice in your library? And to my surprise, no. Do you have Success Runs in Our Race? No.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any CD or motivational tape by Les Brown? And no. And so that's really my mission, I believe, is to make sure that we amplify those who've already been there and done that.
Yes, absolutely.
And I really want to lead people to you.
And that's how we grow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I sure appreciate that. Thank you. Look forward to working with you.
I look forward to working with you,
Thank
too.
You, and God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening to my conversations with Black millionaire entrepreneurs. And if you want more tips, more strategies, more notifications that would really take you into the mindset of these brilliant Black millionaire entrepreneurs, I need you to take out your phone and text my brother, that's the keyword, my brother, to 58885. Just text the keyword, my brother, to 58885. Or if you prefer, you can go online and just go to blackmillionairemindset.com. And once you enter your name and your email, I will immediately send you my video training, 10 Keys to Unlock Your Own Millionaire Mindset. So again, you can go to blackmillionairemindset.com, enter your name and email, and I'll send you the video training, or you can text the keyword, my brother, to 58885, and I'll make sure that you get the video training. This is your brother Bedford, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you in the next Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. Take care.